Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Yeah!
I feel like that'd be a fun evening out.
Probably.
Like, everybody's got their own cup. Yeah. Like, that's a night I would not miss.
I would deal with it. It'd be good.
Speaking of nights missed, you will not see Tom Thibodeau on the sidelines for the Knicks anymore. And I find this, one, so I had to drop Shelby off at school this morning, and the Junkies, those dudes are radio legends. They will know more about radio than I will ever, they'll forget more than I'll ever know. They tried to do a Wizards call-in segment. I got back to the house and had to kind of keep moving, so I didn't get to listen. I would love to know if people actually called in for the Wizards segment.
Somebody having Tom Thibodeau?
They're talking about, yeah, Thibodeau or the dude from Denver that's available, Malone, that won a ring.
I want somebody that can – listen, I love defense, but the NBA, you got to play offense.
So,
and Tom cannot make adjustments.
All right, here's the thing with Tibbs. He's a really good regular season coach.
Over 500 wins.
Totally. So he's been a head coach for 13 years. In Chicago with the Bulls, they won almost 65% of their games. With the Knicks, they won almost 57% of their games. Remember, they weren't that good. He kind of built that team back up. Minnesota didn't go very well while he was there. But in his career, I mean, he's got almost a 60% win percentage. Mm-hmm. He's a very good regular season head coach. Not as good in the playoffs. A 46% win percentage in 103 playoff games.
What do you have to do in playoffs?
Sure. Score more points,
you
whatever you want to say.
Make adjustments, and you got to also, people know what you're going to do. You got to find something else to just catch them by surprise.
My thing with Tibbs, and people can disagree if they want. What Tibbs gets his teams to do is play hard every night.
Yeah, but he only plays 8 people. But
there's not a lot of NBA teams, frankly, that play hard every night. So he's going to be good in the regular season.
I mean, like, but the thing about it is if you play only 8 people,
totally,
you're going to wear those dudes down. When we watch the two teams that are in the finals right now, Oklahoma City and also Indiana, both of those dudes, they play like 10 people. Sometimes they go over 10.
Especially during the regular
season.
So, now, they might narrow it down this time of year.
But when you're playing 8 guys at full capacity every night, the way he likes to grind, and he can't make offensive adjustments, bro, I understand they were right there in the Eastern Conference Final. But guess what? He can't get people over the hump.
I agree with that. Now, my counter is – one, I'm not interested in Tibbs coming to the Wiz. Are you?
Nope.
They need – I like Keith. I like the current situation. Those guys play hard, and there's a clear focus on development. Like, this, the Wizards team is years away from competing. I like Brian Keith. I think eventually when these young players are ready to take a next step, then you might need a new coach. I don't know that Keith is that guy, but I don't know that he isn't either. I don't think Tibbs is the right guy to develop young players. I think he'll grind them out.
I had a discussion with Tony this morning, now a little Mike Riding Group thread, and he was like, well, man, it's the general manager's fault. I said, no. You're a head coach. You got to be able to develop talent. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to play these eight people the whole year. You need to understand that eight people playing the whole year will wear down. And you got to find a way to develop somebody else. But if you never play them, guess what? Can't develop nothing, right?
Totally. I for the Knicks, the thing that I find laughable, do you think the Knicks were the second best team in the East this year?
They played like it, but still, I think Boston was better than them throughout the year.
Like, I think the Knicks did a good job of winning those first two games in Boston. They won that series, but then Tatum gets hurt. I don't know what happens if Tatum doesn't get hurt in that series. Mm-hmm. I would not have been shocked if Boston ends up winning that thing in seven if Tatum stays healthy. And I think Towns is a free agent. Maybe you're going to bring him back. But the Knicks, as currently constituted, your two best players, the two guys that generate offense for you in Brunson and Cat, aren't good defenders. And, like, fire Thibodeau, keep Thibodeau. I don't think it really impacts what their ceiling is. I think their ceiling is about what we saw.
Well, but if you got – what if another coach comes in there and can get three more people that can play?
Maybe.
He develops them.
Yeah.
And now I can – because let's be real, in the playoffs – when Brunson went to the bench, they were taking leads.
Yeah.
So they can play. But you have to find guys that can play a little bit better offensively down the stretch. And down the stretch, their offense was give it to Cat, give it to Brunson, everybody get out the way. So if you can find someone you're going to get everybody involved passing the ball around, you may be able to do something again. Because that's exactly what Oklahoma City and the Pacers do. They play team basketball. They play team defense. They play team offense. They make the extra pass. When Brunson got the ball, offense stopped. When Cat got the ball, he was shooting from wherever he has it at.
Cat, I thought, did a good job in this playoffs of going to the rack.
He did.
When he goes like to the rack.
When he tucked it, looked like he was scared of football.
He's so hard to stop. But he just loves standing 40 feet out and shooting.
Oh, he'll shoot that thing now.
The Knicks haven't been to the conference finals since the Y2K bug. The last time the Knicks were in the conference finals was like Latrell Sprewell and stuff. Ooh, so, like, I just – to me, what I find laughable about this is, like, you want to make it about Tibbs? Cool. That's the best you've done in 25 years. I don't think the coach was the problem in your inability to get over the hump.
You have to look at his whole history and his whole career. Exactly what happened this year is what he's done throughout his whole career. He's played great basketball in regular season. His guys wear down in the playoffs. They get to a point and they don't go any far. They don't get over the hump. He got him there. Maybe he's just that guy that will never, ever get him over the hump because he refused to play more than just 7-8 people that he liked.
I agree with that. That there may be like a Tibbs problem. So,
yeah, so when I came into the show but a couple times, watching the game, I'm like, dude, they do nothing offensively different down the stretch.
No.
He never called a time. He sits there with a little look on his face. He doesn't call the timeout and sit up here and make adjustments. If you can't do it, yeah, on defense he could do it. Offense, he couldn't.
I you're right there. I thought it was very obvious that Carlisle was the better coach.
Yeah.
Rick Carlisle, I also think, is a damn good coach. I think Carlisle will be a big factor in the Pacers stealing one or two in this series. Hopefully we can figure out which games those are and bet on them and take advantage. But so
we figure that out, dog. Guess what? We were on Vegas. Nobody figured it out yet.
to bring this home for us, I'm not pretending that Brian Keefe, that the Wiz have a good record under head coach Brian Keefe. Do you know what the Wiz went last year? Like, we understand there's a process in place. Do you know what the record was last year?
They probably won 20-something games.
18.
18 games? Ooh. That kind of sounds like that baseball team over there.
Yo.
What they have, still 9 or 10 wins? The baseball
team. The Rockies. I will check that. We need a Rockies update. Hey, they won 2 in a row, dude. They're 11-50.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. That's so bad.
Winning streak.
But the Wiz won more. Dude, 2 years ago, they went 15-67, B.
Hey. Listen, brother. I was at games, Jay, and I'm going to tell you, they weren't trying to win games.
No.
I watched my man Bob Carrington killing the team when
get
I was
pulled
there,
out.
And they pulled him. Boom.
They
made sure that they were going to get in the position. And you know what happened?
To get the sixth
pick. They still didn't get the right pick.
All that said, I am not interested in a coaching change for the Wizards. Are you?
Not right now.
Right. Okay. So we're in the same boat. I am interested in Konknipple and my man Malak. I am interested in those guys at six.
Okay.
You think Malak will last till six?
We're going to see.
I'm going to have to work on how I pronounce my man's name.
You need to find out how to pronounce. Just go to a thing, pull it up, and see how one of the announcers is doing it, and then go from there.
Come on, Malak. I think that's it. Dude, if you have Malak, 7'2", and what I like about him, he's a true, like, rim protector. I know that Sar has the size and the length.
But he want to be outside.
If you watch him play, he wants to shoot threes.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, pair both of them up, and then you got some serious length on the court.
True.
I also like Knipple. I know you're not as into him, but I think he's the type of player that will be on winning teams. He just makes smart basketball decisions when he is on the court. All right, so God bless you, Thibodeau. Some other team will hire him. He'll be one of these dudes just kind of bounces around. I bet he has another job coaching a team by like 2027.
He gets hired all the time, bro.
Yeah, I mean, he's already had 3 gigs. If the word ain't out on him yet, he plays too few dudes. He gets his team to play good defense and to show up every night in the regular season. You're going to win 50 regular season games. You're not going to hoist a title, I don't think.
Hey, and if you want to win 50 regular season games and be happy about making the playoffs and be fishing during the finals, hire him.
Right.
He's shown he's good at that.
Tom Thibodeau is not going to hoist a Larry O'Brien.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP coming up at 8:45. It's a Game Show Wednesday, your chance to win $100 gift card to Metropolitan Hospitality Group and their restaurants. We also have tickets to go see comedian Ian Bagg. So we're doing that at 8:45. John Shambi scheduled to join us coming up in about 20 minutes. We're talking about the Wizards. All right, Wizards had an awful season. They had an awful lottery. They're going to have the sixth pick in the NBA draft. They're in the midst of a rebuild.
I need to pump the brakes. Okay, they didn't have a ton of wins, but they hit on Bob Carrington. The rookie draft class was very good. Sar was, I think, pretty good as the number two pick. It didn't result in a lot of wins, but they got some pieces they can build with going forward.
Hopefully.
All right, continue.
I just said they had an awful season. That's true.
They had an awful season win-loss-wise, but if you ask them, was the season awful? They might say, I'm going to guess they would say, we didn't win, but we developed players and we're building a foundation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Let's see
how long it takes.
Brian Keefe is their head coach.
Here's part of the problem. I'm going to point this out to everybody. JP is too results oriented. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care about process at all.
That's not true.
I think it's pretty true. That's my personal opinion. I think you're very results oriented.
When do you think they need to start racking up wins?
Next season? Not next season. Give them another season, and then by the next season, they should be hovering to like 500
level. You want to see hypothetical. You just want to see improvement.
Hypothetical. Yes. You play in a poker tournament.
Wins-wise, they went backwards.
You play in a poker tournament, and you shove all your chips in every hand, and you win the poker tournament. Somehow you do it. It's an awful process, but your result was good. That's not going to work out for you every time. It might work one time. I like the process. I'm not so concerned about the results right now.
Yeah, but how long will you endure the process? That's a whole different question. Like, I'm already kind of tired.
When are you going to start questioning the process?
I'm already kind of tired of it.
I mean, we're two full seasons in, right? Yeah.
After four?
Yeah, I think after four full seasons of a rebuild, so you expect the results.
They've got to be approaching the play-in in the fourth year.
That's what JP said.
I would want more than the play-in at that point.
Well, no, you want that, but minimum.
That's a year after next.
Yeah.
And I would actually say...
It'd be hard to go from like 17 to like 40.
I only give them 3 years, by the way.
You're saying next year.
I know, but I don't really consider next year this next season the third season. You guys are considering third season. I don't know. For some reason, I just considered it the second season.
Oh, now we're back on the second or third. Yeah.
You can't count. I was on your side yesterday.
No. I just think that
You think Sar starts it? I think Bilal starts it.
No, we're on year two. Year one was Bilal.
Yeah.
Year two is Sar. Bob, yeah. Keyshawn.
I don't know. I don't. Maybe I'm mistaken.
Dude,
when those guys?
How many years have they been taking?
I know, but maybe I'm mistaken. Like when Beal was traded.
Two years.
Whatever. Yeah. Whenever they traded away Beal, then okay, you can say that. So maybe it is year three. Yeah. Then they realistically they should be doing it by now. Because take a look at Oklahoma City's timeline. It's garbage that you wait 4 or 5 years. You know, it's garbage.
Or you have to hit on it. They're incredibly lucky.
And they also have to land whoever their SGA is. Good luck with that. Finding that guy.
Yeah.
Now, hopefully, we'll talk.
Well, Sar's got to be. Look, Sar was the second pick in the draft.
Right.
I'm sorry. He's got to be an all-star at some point.
You're probably right.
But look, Cakes cut me off because I used the word awful and it triggered him. The point is, we were talking about the coach.
Right.
And whether or not they should move on from the coach because there are these big name guys out there. I'm kind of with you. I don't see the point in necessarily bringing in Thibodeau, although he's better, or bringing in. Mike Malone, although he's better.
Neither one of those guys would take this job because of how awful they are. They just wouldn't take it.
For right now, Keefe is the perfect guy. He's low key. He doesn't make a lot of money. He's going to take a lot of bullets and a lot of losses. And then he's probably going to cede his spot to somebody more high profile when they're ready to win more games.
Well, but he should get first crack at it. He should get first crack at it.
I agree. I just think that by the time he gets there, he may just be a little bit burned out from all of the L's.
Not if they start winning.
I mean, if they start turning it around, like, sure, give him the credit.
Well, and not even give him the credit. If they, it's very possible. Let's say that they got to 30 wins next year because for whatever reason. It's a big jump. 17 to 30 or 18 to 30?
18 to 30, yeah.
Let's just say they get 28. They get 10 games better. They add another piece or two. They're getting more competitive. And then in that fourth year, they win like 35 to 38 or something. Like, they're getting better. There's no reason why he can't coach a good team.
Well, he's also got to be credited with some of that, you know. I think when you look at what he can do and develop players, if he's gone from 15 wins to in the 30s, he's got to get props for that.
I think he should be recognized for it. Yeah, absolutely.
100%.
I understand the rebuild, but right now it looks like Brian Keefe has the second lowest winning percentage all time in NBA history.
Of course.
Well, yeah, look at the roster.
They're not trying to win. Like, they don't care about it.
They're trying to
build. They literally don't care.
I'm not okay with putting any coach in there just because he doesn't cost a lot of money.
No, no.
That's not my problem. That's Ted's problem.
No, they're not putting him in there because he's cheap. They're putting him in there because they think he's good at developing players.
He was an assistant coach. The coach got fired. They go, well, I don't know, who should we do? I guess promote Brian.
No, I don't think that's what it was.
You think it was that cavalier attitude?
I don't think it was that. I think it was more calculated. These guys... You think Will Dawkins just said, we'll just take whatever bum is sitting in the chair.
He just looked up.
You've talked to Will. You know their process. You think Will and Winger and all these guys are going, yeah, let's just give it to the guy who's just sitting there.
He was a guy on Wes Unseld's staff, right? Wes got fired.
Yeah.
He's on the bench, middle of the season. They go, well, let's promote him. Save some money. He's still there. We're going on year three.
Yeah, I think
Brian Keefe.
I think he's more than that.
I don't think it's a stretch to think about what Drab's saying, because that's basically what they did with Tommy Shepard.
I'm just saying you have an opportunity.
Right? Tommy Shepard.
Yeah, but
somebody,
Will Dawkins didn't do that.
I know, but Shepard.
Right, do that.
But Shepard.
That was Ted.
Right. Well, Shepard was a guy who was
long
underneath
time.
Grunfeld.
For a long time.
And they're like, all right, let's just go with Shepard. And then he had terrible drafts.
Didn't work out. But Shepard was, before Shepard was actually the top guy, he was allegedly very respected.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it was his turn to fire the bullets, it just didn't work.
I mean, if you look at it, since they got rid of Scott Brooks, who we liked.
Yeah.
They hired Wes in part of the family. And then they hired Keith, part of the family.
Yeah. I'm not opposed to hiring a bigger name coach, just not right now.
Right. It's not the time.
Tom Thibodeau's not getting more than 18 wins with this roster.
Oh, he might.
I think he would.
Because he's
maximizes
just
his guy.
But he's not going to
getting more. All right, he might get a couple more.
Right.
He's not making the playoffs with this roster.
Of course. But I'm saying he could go from 18 to maybe 24, because I think he's really good.
Mm.
But that's still 24 wins.
I would question that.
You don't think he could eke out six more? I think he might.
No, but, because the team isn't good.
Yeah, but NBA. The NBA's a joke. You could steal a couple games.
The reason he's so good is he had all-stars. That's why he's winning 50 games in New York.
I'm not saying 50. I'm saying 24, which is putrid. I mean,
24 is too low. Let's get 28 to 30 next year.
Any coach needs more pieces. And that's what you're relying on from Will Dawkins.
He wouldn't take this job for $100 million.
Oh, yeah, he would.
Tibbs.
I mean, why would he take it? He'd get another job. I mean, not going to get $100 million, but.
What was Jalen Brunson before he got to Tibbs? He was a backup on the Mavericks. And he goes to New York and he becomes a star. Right, I'm not saying he was not talented and he wasn't a good role player, but he certainly wasn't all NBA worthy before he got to Tibbs.
Yeah, but he started to show that he was
a good player.
Yes, in the Western Conference Finals and that run with the Mavericks.
I mean, they've got so much more talent. It's a joke. I mean, Towns is a star. Anunoby is damn good. Mikal Bridges, they traded a bunch to get him. I mean, Josh Hart's a good player, good role player. They've got so much more talent, it's not even close.
Going back to how many years, EB? All right, so I went back and looked at it. So this will be the third offseason for Dawkins.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So he became the GM in June of 2023, I believe. So the 2023-24 season, they went 15 and 67. They fired Wes, hired Keefe. This year, 18 and 64. The premier draft choices, I like all the guys they got. I really like Bub, but the premier guys are Bilal and Sarr. Both French guys. Bilal was drafted a little lower. Sarr was drafted number two. So, yeah, I guess I give them this year to be nubs.
One more
again,
year. Yeah.
And then next year.
I would agree.
Whatever, year number four, they better be at least tickling the playoffs. But it takes time. I get it. The Pistons, I think the Pistons are a good model. I believe Cade Cunningham's in his third year. And they became a good team this year.
Playoff team.
And they didn't get out of the first round, but a lot of people thought they had a chance. But you got to hit on your guy, right? Cade Cunningham, I believe, was the number one pick overall.
He was number one.
Yes, he was.
So Sarr has to be able to lift the Wizards like a Cade Cunningham. Maybe a little harder because he's center versus somebody that's ball handling all the time.
All right, let's bang out some of these.
The Detroit increase in wins from 2 years ago to this year was incredible. Do you know what they had 2 years ago?
15. Like
13 or 14 wins.
You know what they had this year?
42.
44.
Yeah, I was going to say 44.
They increased by 30 games.
That's How's great. My guy Ivy doing?
He's all right.
Yeah. He's not a stud?
No. I'm going to guess similar to Bilal numbers, like 12.
Only 12 a game?
I'm not sure.
He's a pretty explosive player. All right, let's go to Drew in D.C. Drew, what's up?
What's going on, fellas, man? Hey, my number one show, man.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, man.
Hey.
Ivy averaged 18 a game, by the way.
Oh, there you go.
I just say, Thibodeau, man, that would be a worse hire. I wouldn't care if the team was doing good. I wouldn't hire him, man. He got out-coached because he don't know how to use his bench players during the season. And I think they was capable of beating Indiana, but he's always been that way, even with Chicago. That's a steal on him, man. He doesn't have any type of offense. He doesn't have no type of offensive design. He just let the players go out because when Bronson and Towns out of the game, man, them guys don't know what they're doing. So that would be a terrible hire. But I would go for the Nuggets coach that they fired. And also I would let, you know, Sam Cassell probably get his tech. And then I've always been a fan of Mark Jackson. I don't know why, you know, they blackballing him, but I would love for him to get a shot again, man. But otherwise than that, this team, they're headed in the right direction. But Tab Thibodeau, man, that'll be a terrible hire, man.
Do you want one of those guys now? Don't you think that Keith, you know, should get another year to develop the guys and a chance to show something?
Yeah, I would say Keith right now because it's not about wins. Right now, he has a long, you know, they're giving him a long leash, you know.
Yeah.
We're not looking for the playoffs right now. And you can see the guys are developing. One thing about these guys, they can score. They just got to learn how to play as a team and understand the concept. They like a young OKC, you know, without Alexander, you know. They kind of like running with that model. But I say in this year right here, you should see at least 25 to 27 wins from this team, man. It shouldn't be another, you know, like a low digit, like 14 or 15, because you're going backwards from there.
Yeah, I would agree.
Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it, buddy.
They can't win 15 games this upcoming year.
No, you got to be in the mid. You got to be in the mid 20s. Mid 20s,
right?
You have to
show progress.
I just hope that Keith isn't in the situation. I went back, look at the Pistons. The Pistons had Dwayne Casey as their head coach as they began their teardown. So they went from a 500 team that squeaked into the playoffs in 2018-2019. Then these are their next five seasons. 20 wins, 20 wins, 23 wins, 17 wins, 14 wins, and then they made the big jump. It took them a while. That's five long, lean years.
All right, let's go to Al in Hyattsville. Al, what's up, man? You're on with the Chuckies.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Hey, doing great.
Hey, good, good. Hey, yo, here's my thing. Like I was telling the screener, my thing is you got to get rid of any remnants of the past. And he is a link to the past. He was a part of that West Unsell thing. He's a part of – look, it's like with the Skins. You're like, look, we had – it's a completely new staff and everything that came in and everything changed. We have to clean house. At some point, anything that was linked to those old coaching regimes has to go. We have to stop trying to recycle guys. Well, he's on the bench. Let's promote. Look, get rid of that dude and start fresh.
I get your perspective, but let's be real. When you make your Commanders comparison, they got Jaden Daniels, and that changed everything. All right? They need to hit on their Jaden Daniels, whether it's Alex Saar or somebody else. That's why people are excited at the prospects of landing the number one pick and hoping that Cooper Flagg would be that guy. Instead, they got the sixth pick. And they are remnants of the old organization. They didn't get rid of Terry McLaurin.
Hey,
they didn't get rid of Terry, did they?
But Terry produced.
I know. Well, you don't just have to get rid of everybody.
They got rid of a lot of guys, though.
Yes.
Okay. Hold up. What was Keith's record again? Where was he? I think Bish said something about it. What was his past
Drab
record?
He said.
What was that?
No, he was Drab pointed out he had 15 wins and 18 wins, so 33 wins total.
15, 18. What about before then? Anything else? We got any more background history on him before then?
He was an assistant.
Well, he's just been an assistant forever.
So he's been an assistant forever. He's in this thing. He sucks right now in terms of, I mean, development.
They're not asking him to win.
All right. So you're the GM. I'm going to make you the GM right now. All right. What are you doing?
I'm pulling Mark Jackson.
Okay.
I'm pulling Mark. And the reason being is because we saw what Mark did. With a team, he came in, he laid a structure. They were all.
Didn't he have Curry when he was there?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think he's contending that he built them into a contender, and then Steve Kerr.
I think Mark Jackson was fine. I agree. I think he's fine.
Or the coach from Denver or Denver's coach. I want somebody that's coming in that say, okay, look, we got a coach with a history and a record that we know has done this. They came in, we saw them either build up from scratch or they came in and they got some guys and they turned them. Right now, if we're going to just let Brian Keith take bullets, let him take bullets. Okay, great. Let him take bullets. I'm not saying that they're not developing. They are developing. I'm happy to see what's going on. We don't know what Saar is. We still don't know what Bilal is. And I think all of them are on an upward trajectory. I think all of them are heading through the roof and they're on an upward trajectory. It's just that this guy... I'm sorry.
You don't believe in him.
Why?
You get it.
But why? Why aren't you giving him a chance? He's not. He hasn't been here that long.
It's like this. It's like I feel like we're just keeping ourselves attached to old stuff, and we got to like look. At some point, you got to stop that.
But he's only been here. He's been here for 2 years. It's not like he's been here 10 years.
For a head coach, he's been here for 2 years.
No. He's been here for 2 years. His first year as an assistant was 23-24. He was with Brooklyn before that, Oklahoma City before that. He hasn't been here that long. He's been here for two years.
So he's been with multiple teams already, right?
Well, I guarantee you that's why Will Dawkins brought him in, because he was working with him in Oklahoma City.
All right,
hey, it's a guy who's going to probably win the NBA title this year. He wasn't with anybody before OKC. He was coaching in the G League.
Yeah, he's got
so
crazy.
Just because you have, a resume that maybe doesn't have NBA head coaching experience doesn't make you disqualified. You got to get a shot. Kenny Atkinson, I believe, won Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
He didn't have some long resume like...
He was an assistant.
Michael Malone, right. You got to get a shot at some point.
But my point about Keefe is it's not like he's been here 10 years just riding the bench working for these bad coaches. His first year was 23, 24. Mm-hmm.
No, you're right.
He wasn't here for the whole Ernie Grunfeld era.
And he was with the Knicks before that. He was with the Lakers. He was with Oklahoma City. That's where the relationship with Dawkins comes, I'm sure.
Coming up next, we'll talk a little baseball. Boog Sciambi, John Sciambi from ESPN, Chicago Cubs play-by-play broadcaster, scheduled to join us to talk some baseball here on The Junkie.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
All right, indeed, breaking news on the Team 980, and it doesn't have anything directly to do with Washington, D.C., but it is an interesting thing to monitor moving forward, because it could. It could. I'll explain in a sec. So, Shams Charania, as usual, he's really the only NBA insider at this point that breaks anything, of ESPN, first to report, Tom Thibodeau out in New York. First Eastern Finals appearance in 25 years. They made the second round of the playoffs last year, lost again to Indiana. They made the playoffs in 4 out of his 5 years. Consecutive 50-plus win seasons for the first time since the 1990s. That was John Starks, Patrick Ewing, Anthony Mason, Derek Harper, all those guys, Pat Riley, and those teams. Tom Thibodeau can coach. There is no doubt about that. Now, a buddy of mine told me that his contract extension hadn't even kicked in yet. I've got to check that out. I didn't have time to research that. People are going to be stunned by this. Man, this is the NBA. You got a bunch of whiny, spoiled, rotten, selfish, brooding babies. That's the reality. They don't want to be coached hard. They don't want a disciplinarian. They don't want a grinder. They want somebody who understands them, who gets them, who lets them be them, who lets them probably shoot 28-foot three-pointers. And I'm, again, I could be totally wrong here. I'm pointing my finger more at Karl Anthony Towns than Jalen Brunson, who, remember, his dad is on the coaching staff. Now, maybe this is a power play by Jalen Brunson to get his dad to be the head coach. Maybe.
So I did, like, while we were in break, I did turn on ESPN, and Shams was talking on there. I just wanted to give this context, and we'll hear from Shams in a minute. But he was saying that after the game, well, first he was saying that he didn't get the sense that it was because of a rift with the locker room. Mm. Now, whether or not that means that they didn't like the team didn't like the way Tibbs coached, I don't know if he necessarily pointed to that, but Shams did say that he gathered that this wasn't because of a rift in the locker room. Now, that doesn't disqualify anything that you just said, because it could still, right, an organization can still look at the way he coached,
yes,
and look at the way that there's history of him getting in this is public, of history of him getting in disagreements with players. So that doesn't mean that the organization saw that and didn't say, okay, this isn't the way. But just for context, Shams did say that he didn't get the idea that there was a rift in the locker room.
Okay.
And he used the Jalen Brunson after they got kicked out by Indiana. He used his post-game comments as context for that.
That is good detail. Great job by you. And you also got a piece of is that essentially the audio, or is it a different piece of audio?
No, so Shams is working. So he was, I guess, right before that ESPN hit, he was on Pat McAfee after the news broke.
Okay.
And he just kind of talks about how the Knicks came to make this decision on Pat McAfee.
All right, so why don't we – can we cue that up and listen to that before we get to Josh Harris? All right, that is Shams Charania just a little bit ago on the Pat McAfee show on ESPN. Good job by AMAC cutting that up. Just real quickly, and then I know you wanted to add something. The Knicks are going to have plenty of candidates. Like, for anybody that thinks people are not going to want this job, they're crazy. Crazy. I'll give you a list coming up in just a sec. Crazy. This is a premier job.
Yeah.
Regardless of Dolan being an idiot, Leon Rose is very, very, very well respected in the entire industry and has turned that moribund franchise around.
Yeah, and especially coming off the success that they just had last season. My question to you and just anyone in general is, I feel like you don't make a move like this, and I can be completely wrong. I could be just talking out of my butt cheeks right now.
Oh.
But
that is a visual that I was not expecting at 3:06 on a Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, there it is. Let's. I didn't expect that either. It just kind of came out. But my impression is that you, and especially with these type of moves being made in the NBA quite frequently, we talked about Michael Malone being fired too, coming off of a NBA championship 2 years ago. It's like, with all these moves being made, and it seems like we're going into an offseason. I know Denver hired the intern, so that job is off. Right. But with all these moves being made, it's like you have to have someone in mind, right? Like you would think that this move, because Tibbs isn't terrible. Like you just said, he can coach. So in my mind, you have to look at the pool and say, we at least have five coaches that are out there that are better than him, right? Like, that's what I would imagine, right?
Well, first of all, I'll do you one better. A, there is that pool. B, I guarantee you they've already reached out to somebody that they probably feel is like their number one option.
Do you think they do it before the firing?
Yes, okay. I think you do that.
Yeah.
Now, maybe they're so confident that they can get anybody better and a new voice and a fresh voice or whatever, and maybe they didn't do that. To me, that would be stupid. Like, the first thing I would do is tonight or last night or early this morning, hey, man, don't say anything. We've decided to move on from Tibbs. We really like you. We'd like to bring you in here. We love your style. We think it could be a great fit. Do you have interest? Yes. All right. Okay, so here's the potential list. Great point by you. Great transition. You know, when you were – I like you. You think I don't like you. But I really like you.
Hug it
you
out.
Do a great job, number one. What's that?
Hug it out right now.
I mean, we're hugging it out on the radio.
Yeah.
You do a great job. Even though you made it incredibly awkward about your butt cheeks, you do a great job, and you just led me down the path that I had set up and teased before you started. So it's a natural progression, right? And I know this isn't WFAN, but this is a big bleeping story.
Yeah,
the Knicks firing Tom Thibodeau is a big bleeping story. Mm. It's all you're going to hear about for the next 24 plus hours.
Yeah,
you know. So here's the list: Mike Budenholzer, again, 1 year, 1 year with the Phoenix Suns, 1 year, won an NBA championship a couple of years ago with Giannis. What if? I don't know what their relationship is. I'm not sure. What if Karl Anthony Towns goes to Milwaukee as part of a deal with for Giannis and Budenholzer and Giannis. I don't know if they get along or not. There was all sorts of weird stuff when he got fired. I don't remember. I don't know what is real. So I'm just speculating on that. I don't know. Frank Vogel. Frank Vogel. Right? Won a championship with the Lakers during the COVID year. Was with Indiana. Was with Phoenix. Got fired again. Was it a year ago? Right? And then they hired Budenholzer. Michael Malone. You mentioned Denver hiring the intern. He got fired four games before the end of the regular season. Won a championship 2 years ago. Michael Malone. Just those three guys alone, right? Then you think, okay. Who led us to some of our greatest success? Who's still toiling out there? Who would be essentially a slam dunk rehire? Granted, different management and all so on. Jeff Van Gundy. He is an assistant with the Clippers. Jeff Van Gundy. Then there are other guys, I'm sure that, you know, people go crazy all the time for Sam Cassell and whatever. Whatever. I think you have to have an experienced head coach with some panache in New York. I just think the media is too tough and that situation is too hot. But those three guys, Budenholzer, Frank Vogel, or Malone, right there. One of those three probably has to be the top target, I would think. And maybe Jeff Van Gundy. Maybe Jeff Van Gundy. Boom. I just gave you four top-notch candidates. Now, here's where it does kind of potentially circle back to Washington, D.C. And people aren't going to love this, but I got to say it because it's the first thing that kind of went through my mind. The Wizards clearly are a rebuilding team. Who's their head coach? Brian Keefe, right? Brian Keefe, first-time head coach. I know he's been on the job now for a year and a half, so he's got some experience. I got it. I understand he's a well-regarded in NBA circles coach. But now that you're about ready to try and take that next step, don't you owe it to your franchise and to the development? And when you've emphasized Bilal Coulibaly and Alex Sarr are what? Two primary defensive players, right? That is their strength. That is their probably their number one skill that you think of. Athleticism, sure. But defense. Who's to say that maybe they keep Brian Keefe, which I think they will at this point. But if the season gets off to a bad start, maybe halfway through, maybe a third of the way through, whatever. Tom Thibodeau's out there. He's rested up. He's had a chance to sleep a little. He's a defensive first coach who proved that he has the ability at least to transition into a more offensive style, kind of like how Rick Carlisle did, going from Indiana to Dallas to Indiana, right? Rick Carlisle was always defense and grinded out first. He evolved. Tom Thibodeau has evolved a little bit. But the Wizards drafted Alex Sarr and Bilal Coulibaly with their two top picks. And those two guys, if there is a number one thing that you identify about their games, it's their defensive prowess. If there's a number one thing that you identify about Tom Thibodeau besides being a grumpy pain in the ass, it's defensive oriented. I don't know anything. I'm not saying exactly that this will happen, but I would just say halfway through, a third of the way through this year, I wouldn't be shocked. I would not be shocked. I would not be surprised. Now, again, whoever doesn't get that Knicks job, Vogel, Malone, Budenholzer, only one of those guys is going to get the job, assuming that it's one of those three. And maybe it's not. Maybe I'm forgetting about somebody, and maybe it's Jeff Van Gundy. I have no idea. Remember, Jeff Van Gundy used to be their head coach, the Knicks. So, I mean, he could come back. Been a long time, but he could come back. But my point being is one of those guys or a couple of those guys are not going to get the Knicks head coaching job, assuming that the selection comes from that group of four, which I just identified. Maybe, just maybe, it's not Tom Thibodeau here in Washington. And I'm not trying to get rid of Brian Key. I'm not. But it's my job to talk about things that make sense and speculate about things. And nobody can say, hey, man, Brian Keefe's done such an awesome job, there's no way you can fire him. Nobody can say that. They play hard for the most part. We know they're compromised. Again, you guys all think they tanked. I think they're reloading, rebuilding, restructuring. I think there's a difference. But at some point, they're going to look around and say, what a veteran coach. Tom Thibodeau is now out there. For now. Mike Budenholzer is out there. For now. Frank Vogel is out there. For now. Michael Malone is out there. For now. And whoever the Knicks don't choose, the Wizards could wind up with one of those guys. Whether it be unlikely this offseason, unlikely, because I would think they would have made the move already, or 30 games in, 40 games in, 50 games in, whatever the game's in. Maybe it's 20 games in to next season. If they're 2-18, right? That's possible. Very possible. All right. We'll end it there. That's pretty big news. And again, it does have an indirect Washington connection, so I wanted to spend a little bit of time on it. And I think it was a good discussion, and I think it was worthwhile. Coming up next, Josh Harris spoke on a podcast about returning to RFK. We'll react to some of what we heard next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
It's early for us to hear Nipsey. Our guy Peter Rosenberg on that baby schedule now would be a different world. Joining us in a moment here is going to be our friend Peter Rosenberg from NYC. WWE, Hot 97, ESPN New York, ESPN, Mothership. Peter does it all. Joining us now, we got to start here, is baby girl changing your schedule, Peter? Are you joining us early today?
You mean, is that because of baby girl that I'm joining you early?
I don't know. I'm just asking.
It's a myriad of things right now.
Okay.
Today is actually, I'm actually early today because at 1:30 I have this, this vocal therapy that I started ever since I lost my voice.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You told us about
that. I thought you were trying to learn how to sing, Pete.
So it's been a wacky time. Oh, by the way, I've been meaning to talk to you guys. So remember, I told you last week when I called that I was going to a wedding of my friends Ellie and Jake
in D.C. Yeah,
in D.C. So they live up here, but so Ellie is a Washingtonian, whole family, grew up with season tickets to the Redskins, big Washingtonian. Jake has become a converted Commanders fan, so much so that he listens to you guys like every day, which I did not realize.
Wow. Jake, shout out to Jake.
What up, Jake?
And no, it gets better than that. And told me, quote, his dream would be for when you guys are up here sometime, he belongs to a fancy golf club up here in Westchester for the four of us to go play around.
Sold.
Done. Just tell me when.
Yeah, that's easy.
It could be the. It could be. Tell me the day. Monday, Sunday through Saturday. I take it off.
So we got to make these plans. We'll go celebrate their wedding and play around.
Yeah, right, man. Cool. That'll be awesome. Congrats to the happy couple. I'm sure it was an awesome affair. Not so awesome timing for old Tom Thibodeau, though, huh? Are you surprised the Knicks canned their coach?
Yes. Yes, I am. I am surprised. I cannot tell you whether it's a good decision or a bad decision, because I truly think that only can be said once you find out who the hire is. You know, and then frankly, it may take longer than that, which I know is really boring sports talk radio, and I'd probably get more appearances on First Take if I was able to just make a hard decision about things like this and start yelling and screaming. But the fact of the matter is, you can make an argument for both cases as to why it seems unfair and also as to why it makes sense. But I'm not going to be able to make a call on this and what it means for this organization until I find out what direction they're going in. But yes, I did not think, once he made the conference finals, I was like, oh no, he's good. So I am surprised.
But I think when you look at how they performed, and I'd say body language does a lot. You watch how they were performing. When they need to adjust offensively, he was lost on the sideline. And I think when you look at his career as a whole, it seems like he's never going to get them exactly where they want to go.
I don't think that's unfair. I think offensively he's kind of dreadful, frankly. I think that team's offense just really waned a lot, and I would be like, what are they doing? Like, I would just be lost as to what they were offensively. I think that's completely fair. I just, you know, sometimes you just can't help but feel for people in the situation. You know, that guy loves this job and really cared deeply about this team, and he did. You can't help but think, like, guys, tell me this. As everything that we're saying is true. The offense was bad. Maybe this was the limit. All those things. If they don't blow that lead in game one, if Tyrese Halliburton's crazy shot hits the scoreboard and goes out of bounds and the game's over, and the Knicks end up winning that series,
yeah,
you guys can't tell me he's making the finals and still getting fired. Is that possible?
Now, if he make the finals, I don't see he get fired. But the thing of it is, watching that game with 5 minutes and something left, and they start jacking up all those damn threes, and then they kept turning the ball over, and they wouldn't stop playing deep. His calling is defense. They were jacking up threes and not stopping anybody. I said they're going to end up losing this damn game, and then they lost the game. And you can blame the players, but you got to damn sure blame the coach too, who didn't call a timeout one time to get them on board. We're going to do this now. Let's take some time off the clock, and then let's go to the hole. But you got people shooting 25 and 29 footers. That it just didn't make sense to me.
You're right. The other thing I would add is, even if you're right, like, Halliburton's shot to take him into OT in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals was absurd. I mean, the thing bounced near the roof of the Garden before it rolled in. But I think the Pacers still win that series, even if the Knicks win game one. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe that's recency bias based on how well they played later. But for me, Thibodeau is, he presses the gas really hard all season, and his teams play really good defense in the regular season and give full effort in the regular season. And a lot of teams don't match that intensity in the regular season. And I think that's why he's always going to be a really good regular season coach. And then when everybody ramps up in the playoffs, It's like his teams lack the next gear because they play at it year round. And I think that's more of an indictment on the NBA than it is on Thibodeau, but I just don't think it's going to change.
Yeah, I think that's a really fair point too, man. That's a lot of people have said that. And listen, the fact of the matter is, the proof is in the pudding. I mean, he's gone for a reason, right? Like, if Jalen Brunson and others had fought to keep him, can you imagine they would have let him go?
Nope.
Yeah,
I can't pick. Jalen Brunson is the star of this team. He's the most loved athlete in New York City right now. And he took a massive pay cut to stay. I think that guy has a ton of pull. And so even though he liked Thibodeau a lot, and even in the postgame presser the other day when he was asked about the idea of Tibbs leaving, and he seemed like annoyed with the question, ultimately, he had to be on board with this. I just can't imagine you would tell Jalen Brunson, we don't care what you think.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean,
makes
similar,
a lot of sense.
When Denver's coach got fired like a week before the playoffs, Joker had to be in on it. Maybe it's not his idea, but he's not stopping it. You know, like, I mean, sometimes just
of course
how
silence.
It is. Yeah. Talking with our friend Peter Rosenberg here on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can give Peter a follow at Rosenberg Radio. Dude, I did want to ask, because I follow a bunch of New York reporters, football reporters, and OTA season is, you know, in spring training, every baseball player is in the best shape of their life. That's like the running joke, right?
Yeah.
And if you don't have positive things to report from OTAs, you're just not doing it right. Like, nobody's throwing interceptions. Nobody's got pads on. Everybody looks good. But it's really starting to feel to me anyway that whether it's real or it's contrived, there's starting to be some excitement about old Jackson Dart and the New York Giants. Am I reading that right from 200 miles away?
Well, yes, but I would just say that it started even like before anything. Like, they seem to be really thrilled with that pick. You know what I mean? Like, it considering they got a massive stud higher in the draft, you would think that would be the big story. And really, just because we know what quarterbacks are, like, the quarterback is the everything. Everyone's been on Jackson Dart. I think they see that as their real coup, that they managed to get both. And they're so thrilled that they got Dart that it does – he has – before he even threw a pass, there's been a lot of excitement. You know how shiny a new quarterback is. People get very excited.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Giants are
going to – I just don't know if it's based in anything yet, except right. that they got him.
Right. Well, I mean, what the hell could it be based on? I literally
I know.
A friend of mine, a guy I know well, just tweeted out that it looks like Jackson Dart has developed some handshakes with specific receivers and running backs. It's like,
wow.
But dude, I remember once
that works until you don't throw him the ball.
Dog, I remember once a former coach in Ashburn called me out because Dwayne Haskins was playing ping pong his rookie year, and I tweeted out, like, oh, Haskins really connected with his teammates playing ping pong. And the coach was like, dude, you got to be kidding me. Like, everybody plays ping pong. Who gives a
so rats?
I understand where the tweets are coming from a, you know, just like a reporting perspective with the quarterbacks. You go in on every single detail. Have you, as the Commanders fan you are, as the Burgundy and Gold fan you are, have you been looking at anything from OTAs down here? Has anything caught your eye?
No, honestly, not a thing. Give me the big headlines from OTA so far.
Everybody looks good. They're practicing hard. You know, you do have three big names not there in McLaurin, Tunsil, and Lattimore. Various people have various levels of indignation about that, but next week's mandatory, and I think they'll all be there. You know, Joe, when they do the in-season hard knocks this year, Joe Witt's going to be an absolute star. Dude just tells it like it is at all times, has a real hard edge to him. I don't know how much – will you watch the hard knocks? You're a busy man.
Well, I watch the hard knocks. Yes. We have never done any bit of hard knocks, so I'm in. Yes.
Good. I think
I have always I've always rooted for us to get hard knocks. I want to see what it looks like. So, yeah, I'm fully in. I wish we had the real hard knocks, but I'll settle for the midseason.
See, I am more into the in-season one than I would be the preseason one, because I think the in-season, dude, you're seeing what is happening in real time as they're fighting for a playoff spot or winning the division or whatever. The preseason one, we're like conditioned to like that because it's older and we've watched it for probably close to 20 years. But dude,
I think more.
So much of the training camp time period that gets shown on Hard Knocks is just, it's good television, but it's pretty irrelevant to football.
Like, you know, you're totally right. I think the only reason I say it is because you're not sharing the time with other teams.
Right.
but you know what? It's definitely more intriguing. Now, listen, obviously, if the season goes the way we hope it all does, that will be great. If somehow we take, you know, if Jaden takes a step back, if the team's not good and things are in bad shape, then I'll probably all be considerably less interested in it. But if things go the way I believe they will, and this is a team that's competing for the division and that people are talking about making a return to the championship game, yeah, I mean, who would not be so stoked to watch that? In fact, guys, I got a couple decisions to make. Listen, I go to games in D.C. here and there. Usually I end up going to at least one a year. But I like to keep an eye on that road schedule and see what's interesting. The fact that you have the opportunity in this moment to go see this team in Green Bay and in Kansas City, both before it gets freezing cold, is pretty incredible.
Which one are you leaning?
Well, so one of my best friends is an obsessive Packers fan who's always wanted me to go to Lambeau with him. And that is appealing, particularly because it's so early in the year. Like, a warm game at Lambeau could be kind of fun, a cool way to take that in. But at the same time, guys, my guess is we won't have another game at Arrowhead during this version of the Chiefs. Like, this is probably it.
Yeah, they don't get out there nearly as frequently. That's a great point, dude. If I had to pick one just on the venue, it's Lambeau. Lambeau's incredible, but the matchup of Jaden and Mahomes with Kelce, you know what I mean? That's a really good point, dude.
Yeah, so those are the two I'm considering. I'm probably closer to doing Lambeau, but I do think the Chiefs one is appealing. But just the fact that we have games like this, I mean, in an average year, guys, as much as I'd say I'm looking forward to those years, it would all be with a sense of dread that it could just go so horribly wrong. To go into games against teams like that and feel like, yeah, I think they should win, is just it's a great place to be.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We'll let you run, man. Thank you very much for making time for us, brother.
All right, boys. Golf soon.
Yes, sir.
Gotcha.
That's our guy, Peter Rosenberg. Follow him at Rosenberg Radio, joining us via the Rude Guest Hotline. Phone lines open at 11. Whoever you're mad at, you can let us know.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app and streaming live on YouTube too at the team 980. Plenty to talk about around the NBA today, so that is our top story. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
David Aldridge, senior writer at The Athletic, in the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame as a journalist, with us again here on the Hoffman Show on a busier than we maybe expected NBA day. DA, how are you?
Greg, I'm good. How are you, sir?
I am doing well. We'll start with the news of the day before we get to the finals and some other loose odds and ends. Tom Thibodeau is out in New York. The more I've read, including a phenomenal piece in your publication in The Athletic from some of your colleagues, including Fred Katz, the more I understand why the Knicks made this move. What do you make of it, and why do you think they ultimately decided to do it?
Look, I don't think this is something that they just decided to do yesterday. I think that there were probably concerns about Tibbs. And not just kind of the facile stuff that everybody talks about minutes and rotations and things like that. That's kind of baked in. You know who he is and what he's going to do. He did try to play more guys in the conference finals. He did play more guys in the conference finals with some degree of success. But my guess is, and again, it's a guess right now because we're still reporting all of this out, is, you know, it's a combination of some players clearly were not happy. Mikal Bridges clearly expressed during the regular season he thought the starters were playing too many minutes. That was not that was publicly known. He said it on the record, you know, to reporters toward the end of the season. You add to that the fact that not only did they lose to Indiana for a second straight year in the playoffs. You remember, they lost Game 7 at home last year in the conference semis to the Pacers and really kind of got blown out. And everybody in New York immediately said, well, Brunson was hurt and we had all these injuries, and if our team was healthy, we would have beaten the Pacers. Well, your team was healthy this time, you know, and they still got beaten 6. I don't think they got past – I don't think mentally they ever got over Game 1 just the way they lost it. just the complete meltdown of how they lost that game. And then you add to that, I mean, I think Rick Carlisle is one of the best coaches out there, and he is having one of the great postseasons that you can ever have. The schemes that he's come up with to beat a 64-win Cleveland team decisively, right? And to then beat a really good, not great, but a really good Knicks team in the conference semis or in the conference finals. Again, if not decisively, certainly handily, right? I mean, I think even most Knicks fans will acknowledge that they dominated one game. That was game five, the game they had to have to stay alive. But other than that, they were scrambling the whole time against Indiana. And part of it's personnel. The Pacers have great players, and they're playing great right now, but they are really getting coached at an extremely high level by Rick Carlisle, and I think maybe that factored in some. You know, like the fact that everything that Carlisle seemed to do seemed to work against New York, and I think that not that nothing Tibbs did work, but fewer things worked, right? And so you look at that. And you also have to add to that Tibbs had 1 year left on his contract. So most coaches, right, after going into the last year of their contract, will say, hey, I need an extension. You know, if I'm going to coach this team next year, I can't be a lame duck. They have to know I have authority. I don't know if that's happened. Haven't heard that that was the case. But it would not surprise me, Craig, if we find out that, you know, Tibbs made it clear or Tibbs expressed an interest in getting the extension done. And I'm guessing that James Dolan said, I'm not feeling that right now. You know,
real quick, D.A., didn't he sign an extension last summer, though?
Yeah, but he only has it was a short one, you know. So,
gotcha.
So coaches are very insecure. Yeah, they should be.
I can't imagine why, considering what we're talking about.
Right. And so I think it was a lot. I think it was all of that. And then you don't know what players said in the exit interviews yesterday, right? Maybe somebody said, I can't play for this guy anymore. Like that shouldn't cause an owner or a GM to fire him. So I think it was more a combination of things, but Tibbs has a shelf life. He's had a shelf life every place he's gone. He's been in New York for 5 years. It surprises me because they were so close to getting to the finals, but am I shocked? No, I'm not shocked.
So that leads to kind of the next logical question, which is, if we say all those things, it's very easy to understand why this move happens and all of these flaws and all of these things that you can identify with Tom Thibodeau and be like, ah, that's not ideal, certainly not optimized. And yet, for the next guy to do better, he's got to at least take this team to the NBA Finals. So what kind of coach, whether a specific person comes to mind, Mike Malone is available, or set of characteristics do you think that the Knicks will be looking for, and would you be looking for to maximize this roster, or did I just set you up with a false premise because do you think they're going to blow up this roster?
Well, I'd be surprised if they blew up the roster. I mean, no matter how, if there was some problems within the team this season, they got within two games of the NBA Finals. That's like, it's really hard for me to say, well, you got to blow that team up.
Agreed.
You
know, especially in this current Eastern Conference with Tatum out next year, et cetera.
The East is obviously not as good as the West, but this is really hard to make trades now. Like, it's hard to trade Karl Anthony Towns for anybody because of so many teams are above the second apron, and you can't trade player for player if you're above the second apron, or you can only trade player for player. You can't aggregate at the second apron, so that makes it difficult. And they were a very successful team. They have two guys who are all NBA selections. Two of the top 15 players in the league play for the New York Knicks. You know, that's pretty good, right? So, I mean, and, you know, you can say Bridges didn't have the year that you thought, but it's not like he stunk. You know, he just maybe wasn't worth five first-round picks. Well, okay. Most guys in the league aren't worth five first-round picks, right? So, but it's not like he had a bad year. Anunoby had a pretty good year, right? I mean, most of their guys had pretty good years. There wasn't this huge drop-off. So I don't know that – I mean, again, it's the NBA. Anything can happen, but I would be surprised if they blew this thing up. Like, what are you doing if you're blowing it up? Like,
right. I didn't want to make assumptions in asking about the coach, about the roster, when we know that there will be rumors about Durant, whatever the Giannis thing. Like, the Knicks are going to be mentioned, even if it's by people who don't understand the math and the potential, or like how difficult making those moves will actually be for New York.
Right. No doubt. But that would be the case if you brought Tibbs back or didn't bring him back,
sure.
Right? So, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying they can't make a big move. They could trade Karl Anthony Towns, I guess. I guess you could sell high and think he's, you know, but I would be surprised. I think that, again, it's not like he had a bad year. He had a really good year. It's just that, you know, he's not a great defensive player, and they were playing against a team whose coach really knows how to hunt bad matchups and does it very well. And Indy's relentless. This is the reason why Indy's in the finals. Like, you know, like they've been pretty good. If you look at their record the last 3 months, they've been pretty damn good, Craig. You know, like they have been one of the best teams in the league. So this is not like some fluke. And they were in the conference finals last year. You know what I mean? So, again, this is a pretty good team that just beat you. But again, owners are irrational. Owners want to win. Owners are desperate to win. And if you don't win, they'll go get somebody else who does. Mike Malone is certainly a very good coach. He's won a championship. I'm not really sure what difference there is between Mike Malone and Tom Thibodeau stylistically in terms of how they play and how they coach. And they just literally fired Mike Malone because he didn't play his bench in Denver. Like, literally just fired him 2 months ago because he wouldn't play the bench guys. He wouldn't extend his rotation. Well, okay. So, you know, materially, is there a lot of difference between one of them has a championship and one doesn't? Not really, but you could go that way. But you could certainly make the argument.
David Aldridge with us here on the Hoffman Show. So that's the Knicks. They're done. We'll have plenty of time to talk about them. Let's talk about the teams that are still playing, including this Indiana Pacers team that just beat them. I am thrilled about this finals matchup, David. This is a really, really good set of basketball teams. And stylistically, unlike, say, the Eastern Conference Finals, where it is going to be a styles makes fight type of matchup. And if the game is slow, advantage Knicks. If the game is fast, advantage Pacers. These are two of the, I think it's five fastest paced teams in the league. They thrive on similar things. They like to play a little bit chaotically. You have one team in Oklahoma City that forces turnovers at a historic rate, and one team in Indiana that seemingly never turns the ball over despite how fast they play. What to you holds the key to this series?
Well, I mean, I do think Indiana has a style, right? I mean, a very clear, delineated style. They play fast. And they play fast to great effect. They don't just play fast to play fast. There's lots of teams that play fast and don't do anything, right? Like they just chuck up threes for no reason. This team gets to the matchup they want. They have incredible movement without the ball. I mean, their guys are all moving all the time without the ball. The ball never sticks with them. It is going from person to person, ping, 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 ping. And they're trying to score off of makes. It doesn't matter if you make it or not. They're running. It's a great matchup between a team that is an elite offensive team and a team that's an elite defensive team. This will be fascinating to watch how this plays out over the course of seven games because, you know, I hate to compare eras because the rules are completely different and you can't have conversations with people because they've already decided who they like and who they don't like, or they like LeBron or they like Jordan, and you can't have a discussion about, you know, who's better across eras. But I will say this Oklahoma City team is reminiscent of the Bulls, of the original Bulls defense, not the Rodman Bulls, who were good in their own way, but with Horace Grant and Pippen and Jordan when they were young. And they didn't really do it with great, you know, they didn't like beat you up. That's not what they did. They were just so quick and so long that they could guard all over the floor and recover, get back to their guys, and turn you over, and now they're running. That's what this OKC team reminds me of, just in terms of they're like piranhas, you know?
Yeah.
If you turn your back, God help you, if you turn your back on these guys, they are attacking. And it's hard to sustain good offense against them because they're just so relentless, and it's hard to kind of get them out of position. They stay connected. They're really good defensively, Craig. Like, they are really good. So it will be fascinating to see if Indiana can play with pace, but also play effectively with pace and continue to score at a high clip like they've done throughout the playoffs against everybody, right? I mean, they wear you down over 48 minutes, and then the floodgates open the last 6 minutes, and they're just, it's an avalanche of points, right? So, somebody, I think it was in True Hoop today, and it was an interesting point. You know, they made Brunson play defense, and Brunson was ineffective. Brunson was less efficient, let me put it that way. Now, he was less efficient offensively. It didn't mean he sucked. I'm not saying he had a terrible series. I'm saying he was less efficient offensively than he was before. And I think there's a pretty good correlation. If you make a guy defend, he gets a little more tired, right? So now the question is, can they make SGA play defense and maybe right. wear him out a little bit, because his terrestrial numbers, his shooting in the conference finals, it wasn't that great. Like he shot a lot of free throws, but if you look at his field goal attempts and field goals and field goal percentage and 3-point percentage, it wasn't that great. He had some clunkers offensively in terms of shooting the ball. So now if you're making him guard somebody, right, that may have an even greater impact. Now the question is, can you make that happen? Just because I say it's possible doesn't mean it's going to happen, right? So that to me is the series. Can they speed up SGA and Jalen Williams by making them guard people so that they are less efficient in the fourth quarters of games, which is when Oklahoma City usually kills you in the third quarter. That's to be fair. It's not the fourth quarter. It's the third quarter. But let's just say less efficient in the second half offensively, so that instead of being up by 15 points after three quarters, they're up by two or they're down, right? So to me, that's where I'll be fascinated to see where the series goes in terms of, can they make SGA guard people for seven games and then see what he's got left offensively.
And this is one of the fascinating things about the way Carlisle does it, is there is nowhere to hide against Indiana in ways that you can hide against other teams. Every guy can pass, dribble, shoot to at right. least some extent, which is why there was nowhere really for Karl Towns to hide and nowhere for Brunson to hide in the Eastern Conference Finals, which is a problem for New York. David Aldridge with us from The Athletic. Of course, he is a senior columnist. But for years, David, we all watched you on the NBA on TNT, and it was fun to see your face pop up in the montages, at least for me this weekend, and think about all the times and think, like, it's pretty cool that guy comes to my radio show now. But I'm sure it was an emotional weekend watching everything wind down on Turner for you. If you know, when you talk to, you know, people and they say, hey, like, what's your favorite NBA on TNT story? Can you share that story with us?
Oh, man. I mean, there's so many of them. But really, again, to be honest with you, Craig, it's not, you know, being on the set. It was great fun being on the set with the guys, you know, when they had me on Inside or they had me on the pregame show. That was great fun. It was great fun doing games. You know, I got to work with Marv Albert. I got to work with Kevin Harlan and Reggie Miller and Stan Van Gundy and Chris Webber and Doug Collins. You know, got to work with some great, great play-by-play guys and analysts. It was terrific. It was tremendous fun. But really, it was the playing rides. You know, like we would fly to wherever we're going next, especially, you know, when OKC, their first iteration with Durant and Westbrook and those guys, like we chartered some because there's just not a lot of flights out of OKC. So, you know, just being on a plane with folks and laughing with them and being in the bar after a game and the breakfast meetings that you would have before a game. I mean, just that, those times with those folks were just tremendous and incredible and such a blessing for me to get a chance to be with the best group. I worked at ESPN. They were really good. It was a really good place. It's a really good shop in terms of production and those sorts of things. They put a really good product out. But if you're talking about who does the best NBA broadcast and who has the best NBA studio show, it's Turner. It's TNT. It's not close. Like, it's not close. And when you know, when you're there, I was there 14 years, and you know that you're working with the best people, like, that really is, you feel gratitude, right? Like, I get, they think enough of me to think that I can help their broadcast. And that just, it was great. Great fun. It was great working with Ernie and with Shaq and with Chuck and with Kenny. And, you know, again, everybody behind the scenes, Tim Kiley, everybody, the producers and the everybody, you know, in the trucks, if you did a game, they're just great, hardworking people. And it was very emotional for me because, you know, they really came. They hired me when I really needed to be hired by somebody and gave me an opportunity to do what I do and cover the league the way I wanted to cover it, and wanted me to cover it that way. Didn't want me to be what I wasn't or who I wasn't. And so I'm always going to be grateful to them for that, and thankful that I got a chance to work with the best. I work with the best people who cover the NBA for a long time, and I'm grateful for that.
I think the thing that struck me, David, in seeing some of the clips from behind the scenes over the weekend was, I think it was Ernie, who would be so appropriate if he was the one who said this, but it might have been one of the producers, Kylie or whoever it was, saying most of the people in this room, I think it was during their final show at Studio J in Atlanta, most of the people in this room have been here for 20 plus years. Yeah. And that is something you don't see in our business. Our business changes. Right. Our business is absolutely brutal. And the fact that they kept so many people for so long, that your 14 years might have been considered a short stint, I think is a truly magical thing. And it certainly must have helped create the product that we've all watched for 25, 30, you know, plus years.
I think it definitely helps you when you're not constantly looking over your shoulder, Craig. That makes a huge difference when you know that your work is valued and that the people value you and that you are going to be there for a while, you relax and you can just kind of do what you do and not worry about, well, is this going to be good enough? My contract's up and that sort of, they take away all your excuses, Craig. They took away all my excuses. They pay you well. They fly you first class. Like, you stay in nice hotels. Like, they really, if you can't do good work for them, I don't know who you could do good work for, because they really make it as easy as humanly possible. And I'm great. Like I said, I'm just grateful that I got an opportunity to work at a place that good for that long. It's the best place I ever worked by far.
And, you know, hopefully a lot of those people will be staying put, even though the show will be in a different place on ESPN and many other talented folks going to Amazon and NBC to hopefully make the NBA coverage really great at those places. David, we always really appreciate your time here on this show. Thanks so much, as always, and enjoy the NBA Finals, sir.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
David Aldridge with us here on The Hoffman Show, senior columnist now for The Athletic, where you can read his work, and he's a frequent guest on their podcasts and such. As well, always great to have DA on and get his perspective on the league. When we get back, a flip of gears here on the Team 980. There's a brand new documentary film coming out Saturday, June 14th on TJ Oshie and the relationship that he had with his dad. It's called Coach. And this morning I was able to talk to TJ and the directors of the film. I was also able to watch an early screening of the film. Very, very emotional, heart-wrenching type of film, but done in a beautiful, beautiful way. Talk to TJ, talk to the directors from Nash Films, and you'll hear that conversation next here on the Team 980.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.